One of the great privileges of being a priest is that every day I read something that are called the Office of Readings. And the second of these readings is usually a sermon or something from one of the early church fathers. A week ago today, there was an amazing homily by St. Augustine where he talks about two kinds of songs. He talks about the song we sing in this world being a song of anxiety, and the song that we will sing in heaven being a song of security. And as he goes through this homily, he's comparing these two songs until he gets to the homily's conclusion when he writes these very beautiful words. Oh, the happiness of the heavenly song, sung in security, in fear of no adversity. We shall have no enemies in heaven. We shall never lose a friend. God's praises are sung both there and here, but here they are sung by those destined to die, there by those who are destined to live forever, here by those who are sung in hope, there in hope's fulfillment. Here they are sung by wayfarers, there by those who are living in their own country. St. Augustine captures something that I think is intensified in the month of December. There's no time of the year when we hear more music. There's no time of the year when we sing more songs. And at the same time, many during this time of the year experience an increase of anxiety as the countless challenges, confusions, and consternations of life's journey are associated with painful memories, demands, and expectations that are experienced in no other time of the year like they are in the month of December. And so we sing, but in this world, Augustine says, we sing a song of anxiety. But in our readings today, we have presented to us our present anxiety and our future security. They are brought into focus. And undergirding everything today is this claim that Christianity is a historical religion. And of all of the four gospel writers, St. Luke is the one who is a historian. There is no gospel writer who gives us more details into our Lord's infancy than St. Luke. And then when we get to the third chapter, where we have today's reading, he begins by introducing Jesus' three-year public ministry by reference to John the Baptist. And he locates Jesus' ministry, John the Baptist's ministry, in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius. Emperor Tiberius. Luke wants us to understand that it's the 15th year of this emperor's reign. There's a historian by the name of Suetonius, who wrote a book called The Lives of the Emperors. Every single emperor, their life is chronicled by Suetonius. And this man, Tiberius, he was emperor from a very long time. He started reigning in the year 14 AD until the year 37 AD. This is his 15th year. It's the year 29 AD. St. Luke locates when Jesus' public ministry begins. Now, Suetonius doesn't just tell us something of the political life of the emperors. We're also given, an insight into their private lives. And I don't know, listening to this guy, it sort of reminds me of some contemporary leaders. For you see, although things were going really well in Rome, when it came to Tiberius's life, he makes Nero and Caligula look like, if not princes, a lot better than him. For you see, during his reign, he was one who was known for a personal life that was extremely depraved. He engaged in public displays of sexual immorality, and if he could tweet, he'd be tweeting all the time. He also murdered those who would not support him in what he was doing. He was so depraved, he was so kind of unpleasant, that at some point someone had had enough, and in the year 37 AD, he was smothered to death on his bed. So that's the emperor when Jesus is doing his public thing. Well, what about Pontius Pilate? We know a little bit more about him because we know about him from the New Testament. But then there's the writer Philo. He lived in Alexandria, and he was a contemporary of Jesus. Listen to what he said about Pontius Pilate. Pilate's corruption and his acts of insolence, his violent seizure of people's property, and his habit of insulting people, his cruelty, and his continual murders of people who were untried and uncondemned. That's the kind of man Pontius Pilate was. So far we've got an emperor who is debauched. We have a governor whose ways are corrupt and evil. Well, what about the two guys who are the high priests, Annas and Caiaphas? Josephus, another Jewish historian, tells us that, well, at the end, both of them were deposed from their positions because of various wicked acts in which they were engaged. What kind of world was that? The way the world is, be it in the year 29 AD, or be it in the year 2018 AD. It's the world. But St. Luke does something beautiful. So these are the headlines. This is what everyone's hearing and seeing. And then he says, the word of God came to John in the wilderness. And that's the thing about the word of God. We've got in the headlines, Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, Herod, the ruler of Galilee. Oh, Herod, remember him? Chopped off the head of John the Baptist because a girl was doing a seductive dance in front of him and he'd had too much to drink and he made a promise and then he had to fulfill it. And then there was his brother Philip, Licinius, Annas, Caiaphas. You see, these are the people making headlines and people then say, what kind of world are we living in? But then the word of God comes to John living in the wilderness. So why in the wilderness? And this is where we have to know a little something about Jewish history. I'm going to give you a couple of dates. The year was 722 BC. Assyria was the dominant world power at that time. In the north, the country was called Israel. There were 10 tribes there. They were taken into exile. They then became known as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. They never came back together again. Then 125 years later, the two southern tribes who were in a place called Judah, they were the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, they were taken into exile by the Babylonians. So what's happened to God's people? They have been separated. They have been dispersed. But here's the thing. Isaiah the prophet envisioned that in the wilderness, God would make a highway so that all of these dispersed and scattered people would be brought back to Jerusalem. And so John the Baptist, where is he? He's in the wilderness, repenting, calling people to repentance, because every mountain, every hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight. You see, God is going to build a highway. But here's the thing. For hundreds of years, the Jewish people were looking for this return from exile. So much so that in our psalm for today, we had these words. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things. The Lord has brought us back together. But here's the thing. And this is why many Jewish people to this day do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Because the Messiah was to restore Jerusalem. The Messiah was to bring back together the tribes that had been dispersed. But of course, here's the thing. Jesus the Messiah wasn't going to reconstitute the 12 tribes. He was going to call 12 apostles who would be the new Jerusalem, would be the new Israel, would be the new people of God. And for us as Christians, this is what we need to understand. in this world, we are always going to be in exile. That we're not home. Yesterday, I was privileged but saddened to preside at the funeral of a woman who died at the age of 56. Today, I presided at the funeral of someone who died at the age of 66. How do we make sense of all of this? Well, apart from what we truly believe as Christians, that throughout this life we are in exile, and it's beyond the grave that the exile will end, it's beyond the grave that we will see and be part of the New Jerusalem, we can't make sense of it. But listen now to this reading from Baruch, our Old Testament lesson, and see how this is actually the language of heaven. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathered. Listen to this language. See your children gathered from west and east, the tribes coming together again. At the word of the Holy One, rejoice that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies, but God will bring them back to you, carried in glory as on a royal throne. What a beautiful image. God carrying the people on a royal throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low, and the valleys filled up to make level ground, so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of the Lord. I told you that this was written by Baruch, who we think was either in exile in Egypt or in Babylon. But he has a vision that is able to look beyond the headlines, is be able to look beyond the present world in which he was living to something far greater. And that's what we as Christians understand. Our citizenry is not defined by national borders. Rather, it is defined by everyone who has responded to the invitation of Jesus Christ, who are able to say, yes, as I continue to live in this world, I sing a song of anxiety. Because let's face it, the headlines are sometimes anxiety-inducing. Let's face it, our own personal lives have difficulties, have pains, have challenges, have relationships that are not what we would want them to be. But we are also a people who never stop singing. The church is always that community that will sing its Advent song, will sing its Christmas song, because we with St. Augustine understand that the song of anxiety, well, this is kind of like the choir practice. Yeah, it is. Getting us ready for the song of heaven, the song of security, the song of those who are no longer wayfarers, the song of those who are now at home because the exile has come to an end. But we are not there yet. We are still wayfarers. But if you listen carefully enough, if you turn off the news for just a bit and listen, the Word of God will come to you, will come to me, and come to us. So that in a world of bad news, may St. Peter's become evermore a place of good news. The good news that St. John the Baptist spoke when he said, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. You're on the road. You're on the highway. Let's sing as pilgrims who know that we're going home.